Some questions?
Yes, Maharaj, we have a question from Pavan Krishna Prabhu Brahmachari.
Yeah.
Two of six principles of Sharanagati are to accept what is auspicious and to reject what is inauspicious for the development of devotion. Could you please illustrate this with the particular examples? Why is Sharanagati so important?
Srila Guru Maharaj, it's a very important, it's everything. What does Krishna say in the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? Sarvadharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Ahang tong sarvapapevyo moksha ishami masujaha. Saying when all is said and done, sharanam, sharanagati, become sharanagata, surrender to me. And what type? Sharanam braja, braja sharanam. Like that of the braja gopis, their path, what they've shown. They're the leaders, the ultimate Sharanagatas. They've given up everything in response to the call of surrender. And the word auspicious and inauspicious, technically that's not what's used. It's what is favorable and unfavorable. Sometimes we may have to accept what is superficially inauspicious to surrender. Right? As the Braja Gopis, Uddhava, Asam Aho Charanarenu Jusham Ahangshang, Brindavane Kimapi Gumilatosadinam, Yadushtajam Svajanam Arjapatam Chihitva. Arjapata hitva. We think the Arjapata means, you know, the path of the Aryans. It means Vedic civilization, Vedic culture, the advice of the Vedas. We think, well, that should be good and auspicious. They rejected that because it's not favorable to answering the call of surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. No. And so, Srila Guru Maharaj, after, you can say, the dissolution of the Gaudiya Math, he was undergoing a period of deep self-analysis and reflection. And this caused him to go through all the scriptures under the theme of Sharanagati and the six aspects. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajranam, etc. Goptvitve varanam. And collect slokas. And we know that. And then he wrote some original verses and published Sri Prapanna Jivanamritam. Another word, Prapanna. Prapanna. Sishyasteham sarimam tvam prapanam. The beginning of Bhagavad Gita, saying, Sisha, Arjuna becomes Krishna's Shisha. He surrenders to him, becomes his disciple. Before that, they're discussing relative points of view. At that point, when Arjuna accepts Krishna, he's saying, I am no longer able to make sense out of my karmic circumstance. I don't know which way to go. what to do. Up from down, right from wrong, auspicious, inauspicious. I don't know that. I'm unable to assess that on my own, right? From my finite perspective. So I'm surrendering to you for infinite perspective. Sishyas te ham sarimam tvam prapanam. So in that book, Prapanajivanamritam, so many slokas are given there from all over the scriptures regarding the process of surrender, the glories of surrender. There's one sloka he composed that sort of speaks in summary form. It says, Bhagavat bhakti tat sarvam iti utsriji viderapi kankarjam krishna padaika shruyatam sharanagati. Saying, actually, so much scriptural advice is given, so many things are recommended, but through Sharanagati, you get everything. It's been spoken of in such a way and say, this single act alone will give you everything. So elsewhere, Guru Maharaj pointed out that Jiva Goswami said, of the six, the principal anga is Goptritve Bharanam, taking exclusive shelter of Krishna. Then all of these other things are meaningful. What is favorable, unfavorable, etc. And the principal limb, anga, of surrender is Goptritve Bharan, taking exclusive shelter of Krishna. So Guru Maharaj said that he noted for his use of analogy, an example, he said, Sharanagati or surrender is like cash in the hand. Other things are like post-dated check, or this may come at a later time, a later result. But he said, surrender is cash in the hand, devotionally speaking. It's that powerful. Can bring the infinite under the control of the finite. One example we see, and one of the slokas he collected is of the famous scene in the Mahabharata of the disrobing of Draupadi. So, in the madness of gambling, the Pandavas were tricked into gambling their wife, and they lost. So it was at Dushasana. They called for her, Draupadi, and they want to disrobe, and they're saying, now she's our property, we can do with her as we wish. They want to disrobe her publicly, to humiliate her and the helplessness of her husband, the Pandavas. And Draupadi is brought into that assembly, and they start trying to remove her sari. And she's holding, trying to resist, and praying in a general sense to the Lord for some help. But they're kshatriyas, very strong, they're pulling, and then she's holding with one hand, praying, and still no help is coming. But then at last, she lets go of both hands and prays to Krishna specifically, saying, hey, Gopi Jana Balava. Because there's so many different names for the Lord, but Gopi Jana Balava means the lover of the Braja Gopis. She's praying to that Krishna, who we know is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And that's Gopi Bhav, where they're surrendered themselves, heart and soul, with unconditional surrender to Krishna. So in that mood, she lets go. She's no longer using her own skill or capacity to defend herself, like half first all of me, my strength against the world, then half me, half the upper world. And she lets go and said, no, now I'm taking exclusive shelter of you. Hey, Gopi Jana Balava. And we're told because she had done so many, she's, you know, the word piety does not suffice. She's a divine lady, but we're told just to further underscore the significance of this, that once when, as Guru Maharaj said in one place, if she had any pious credits, if they would be converted in the cloth. And another place we're told, Krishna had a cut once and she tore some of her sari and made a bandage for the cut of Krishna. So she gave that little bit to him. Then what is the result? She said, hey Gopi Jana Balama, an infinite supply. They're pulling the sari, and it's just, it's infinitely long, and they're unable to disrobe her. Right. Such is the power of surrender, because it means the infinite comes under the control of the finite. If someone can, with their heart, surrender, offer themselves fully to Krishna, then Krishna has to take care of them. He has to give them shelter. Another verse mentioned is from the Ramayana that in the course of the battle, Bibhishan was Ravana's brother, and now he was on the side of Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, etc. But things were not going so well. So those surrounding Ramachandra, they thought, this Bibhishan, maybe he's a double agent. He came like he's surrendering here and joining us, but actually he's sending back information. He's a spy, double agent. He's giving information to Ravana. We suspect him. So there was a push to oust Bibhishan. And Ramachandra says, no, you don't understand. Once someone seeks shelter, takes shelter of me, that's forever. I never abandon them. Once someone sincerely, genuinely takes shelter of me, that's forever. They have my eternal shelter, whatever may happen to them. And this verse, it's giving great optimism and joy to the aspiring servitors, because they're not certain of their position. They should not be. Sometimes people think they're being honest or candid, saying, I don't know if I can do this. That is always the position of the devotee, not just of the newly, the prospective recruit. When Srila Guru Maharaj and his party, they were on the beach in Puri, and one local dignitary gentleman was accompanying them there. And so he put forward this assertion. He said, so we hear through Sharanagati, you can get him, get the Lord, get everything. Is that true? And they said, yes, that is true. He said, then I'm such a Sharanagata, means surrendered soul. He said, if you tell me to jump in the ocean, I'm prepared to do that. That's the degree of Sharanagataya. And Guru said, the devotees were a little bewildered what to say to him. And they looked to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj said, that is the opposite of Sharanagati. He's thinking this bold assertion, I'm ready to jump in the ocean if I get the order. Like, Guru Maharaj said, that's the opposite. He said, an actual surrendered soul, They think they're unfit, incapable. Therefore, they're in need. What need is there for this bold machismo, bold assertion, I'm ready to do this, I'm ready to do that? As Guru Maharaj once mentioned with regard to the pastimes of Jesus and Peter, when he said, I will never deny you. Others may betray you, Peter said to him, but I will never, and he said, you will deny three times you ever knew me before the cock crows. And Guru says, Peter, who was the leader, was exposed. He said, so no pride does the Lord tolerate in the heart of the servitor. Even the assertion that I am your, fit, qualified, unconditional servitor. That is not the mood of the actual devotees. And herein again lies hope for the aspiring servitors, because they can say, well, we feel more, that's more, we thought that was our position. We're uncertain, we're unsure. That uncertainty should lead one to take shelter. Srila Guru Maharaj we have to acknowledge that not only can we not help others, we cannot help ourselves. Sometimes these six aspects of Sharanagati in one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, he begins with, in this way, he goes, instead of anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, he says, doinya atmani vedan goptritle baran. Doinya means like hopeless, helpless, despondent, on the basis of a realistic assessment of the situation, insurmountably surrounded by karmic circumstances of our own making, of our own doing, that are inescapable. So he's saying, doinya atmani vedan, necessity to address that genuine necessity and need will lead one to atmani vedam, to offer oneself and surrender. And what? Goptritle baran, to take exclusive shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So, it's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, culminating in Braja Saranam, that of the Braja Gopis. Aslisha va parvatam panastu mama darshanam marmahatam karotu va yatatata va vadadatu lampato mat prananatastu sareva napra. And in the eighth verse of the Shikshastakam, which is really echoing, mirroring the sentiments from the heart of Srimati Radharani, he's saying, this surrender is unconditional. It's not based upon any particular response. And the word adarshanam is used. We hear people often, they talk about darshan. They're going for darshan. Here, adarshan, seeing. Here, she's saying, if you're not present before me, revealing yourself to me, that's the more critical test. How do we respond to the lack of revelation? This is more relevant to our present situation, even though this is the highest part, Again, it comes back full circle to our position. In the absence of Krishna, apparently, how do we proceed? Vinod bole hai hai Haridas Hari Nahi Pai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, Krishna, who's our nearest and dearest, nowhere to be found. So how do we proceed in the midst of acknowledging our deficiency? This is the key to the necessity of surrender, if you will, as a strategy for spiritual progress. We hear that it's very rare in this world to Sudurlabha Bhagavata Hiloke, to come in connection with genuine devotees. And that genuine devotion itself is very rare in this world. Yad vanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kamam Suchiram Dridhavrata. Suchiram Dridhavrata. That the goddess of fortune, for lifetimes she performed austerities in the Tapovan to get entrance in that divine domain. Rasa Leela of Krishna, unsuccessfully. Whereas Kasyanu Bhavosha Jadeva Vidmahe, Tavangri Renu Sparsha Dikara, that the wives of Kali say, but our Lakshmi Devi could not get those lotus feet, but our husband, Kaliya, who is, you know, such an aparadi offender, he can't get your lotus feet off his head. Right? You know, Kaliya is wearing so many jewels and rubies, and Krishna's feet, like a Bharatanatyam dancer, and other times he's dancing on his heads, pounding the jewel, crushing them. They're becoming pulverized. And the pulverized rubies are entering the waters and making them like rose-colored and beautiful. But Kaliya, and they're saying, so he can't get your lotus feet off his head. Everyone else trying to get like a little dust, a touch, something. What happened in his case? So anyway, it underscores how rare it is to enter that domain. Vedantaste shati charala katipaye, at the end of the Brahma Sangita, in so many places it's indicated. And Guru Maharaj is saying, Vrindavan is reserved for the highest section of liberated souls. And as we told, even the insects, the frogs, they're liberated souls. Vaikuntir prithivyadi sakala chanmoy. The soil is of higher stuff than we're made of. And in that plane, Radha, Padman, Kitadam, Vrindavan, Jaranam, the soil that is embellished by the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, Braja Gopis, Braja Sharanam, they're moving in the plane of service. Right? And ultimate, unconditional self-surrender. And in response to the flute call of Krishna, there, in answer to that call, they're, let me say, crossing over the advice of the Vedas and mundane morality, their husbands, families, children, they're leaving everything behind. They're crossing over that. Because right? Krishna, ahang tong sarva papebhyo. If you think in surrendering to me that there's some inauspiciousness that could come from this in terms of, you know, abandoned responsibility, obligation, morality, religiosity, all that. Hong Tong Sarvapapi, I take care of that. Dharman Sakshad Bhagavatam Pranihitam. It's ultimately coming from him. Saying, don't worry. Ma Sujaha means that. Don't worry. So still, those Brajagopis announcing the flute song of Krishna, when they reach the depths of the Braja forest, the dead of night, and Krishna is rejecting them and saying, Krishna himself saying, you know, this is highly inappropriate. Young girls in the dead of night meeting the boy in the forest, some leaving your babies, husbands, parents, family. This is really inappropriate. You should all go home before you do something sinful. So we understand from Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur that at the beginning of those pastimes, when it says the moon rose in the eastern horizon, jasmine was fragrant in the air, and Krishna's seeing the scene of this beautiful moon and the eastern horizon, the scent, the fragrance, the sound of the Jamuna, he's thinking, he's willing rasa lila, and yogamaya, seva is to cast and script. And the indication there was when I said, because the moon and the eastern horizon, he said, the moon and the eastern horizon is not the wife of the moon, according to Vedic understanding. So the moon rising in the eastern horizon is some implication of the type of pastimes that are about to take place. Parakya Rasa Vrindavan. But anyway, the indication is given to Yogamaya, assemble those who are qualified to participate in this play. And Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur says, that is like when the king says he wants to enjoy mangoes, and the attendants of the king, they go to the mango trees and they start picking mangoes, right? Then when they go back to the kitchen, they see, all right, these are ripe, fully ripe right now. These will be good to enjoy right now. This one needs a little more sunshine or heat. Or they separate them into different categories. He said, so in a similar way, and he goes into some description, it's not our place to do that, but of these various Brajagopis and their qualifications. He said, but some, there are some who, like those not fully ripened mangoes, they need some more heat, light, etc. He said, so they cannot go for some reason. And the fire of separation brings them to the fully mature stage. Just as more heat applied to those mangoes brings them to the right stage, the fire of separation burning within their hearts brings them to the fully ripened stage. And when he's giving, classification of the different groups, we can understand, and this is the point that I meant to make, in the case of some, this is the culmination of millions of lifetimes. Right? Some, we may say, the discussion of nitya siddha, this siddha, that siddha. Prabhupada says very beautifully in the light of the Bhagavad that when there's a a clouded portion of the sky, clouds in the sky, you can distinguish between the sky that's clouded and the unclouded portion. So when someone is a conditioned soul, you can distinguish between liberated soul, conditioned soul. But just as when the clouds are removed from the sky, you can't distinguish in terms of the sky, the part of the sky which was once covered and the part which was never covered. So he makes some point with regard to how delicately this matter should be understood. But that said, in the case of some, this is the culmination of millions of lifetimes on the spiritual path, the culture of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna rejecting, right? Who we just said earlier, once you surrender to him, it's forever. This could really give one pause, right? Krishna rejecting, dismissing. And then we see, and also we're thinking, 10 cantos, right? 18,000 slokas, 9 cantos up to this point. Now we're in the 10th canto. It's too much. Right? They're being rejected. And then, and what do we hear? Those gopi, their eyes, lotus, big lotus eyes, flooded with tears. They bow their heads. Their tears are streaming down all the makeup. And it's a sad, sad sight to see. And with their blurred eyes, they're thinking. They know, after all this time, if anyone knows this, they know Krishna is controlled by Krishna Prem. They know that. And now we're being rejected by Krishna. What does that mean? No prema gandasti drapi mehoro krandami so bhagya varam prakashitam. What to speak of a drop of Krishna Prem? We don't even have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna Prem. Because we're being rejected by Krishna. But, so at this critical point, they don't leave. They don't go back. They don't abandon this pursuit. And we find out later, Krishna's saying, why the rejection? He said, he already gave the indication, assemble for this inconceivable rasa lila, but Krishna, bhava grahi janardan, he's the heart consumer, bhav consumer. He's thinking, well, I play my flute and everyone comes behind. That's one level. But if I reject everyone and then disappear subsequently also, the level of separation that their hearts will be plunged in, Bahye Bishajalahoi Bitore Anandamoy Krishna Premer Adbhuta Charit. Right? Under the influence of separation, the extremes of separation, the heart yields its most superior substance. Says Krishna, saying like, rejection, then later I vanish. Then when I return, that'll be a rasa lila to remember. And we think, Krishna, you're so cruel. See, not actually saying, but I'm so addicted to the sort of love and affection that resides deep in their hearts that only comes out through the most intense and deepest magnitude of separation. That is why. And in a similar place, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, just like we're chanting the name of Krishna, particularly aspiring devotees, and they're wondering, like, why are they not getting anything really substantial, like they hear about? Something, but not like what Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the Sharanagati, another place. Nama, from the Nam, the Rupa, mysterious Rupa of Krishna appears. starts showing particular qualities and then takes one into the path. This. And Vishwanath's saying, he could, but he knows we can do better. He could reveal himself to everyone now with just, you know, a little bit of effort. But that, he knows there's deeper heart, deeper regions of heart, and that was what Krishna is addicted to and seeking. Right? Our hearts. Right? As we think, oh, Sharanagati means like, we surrender to him, and you know, like that one man said, you know, not just one man, but Rabindranath Tagore thought, like, Bhoktaram Yagitabasam Sarvaloka Hesh, you know, Ahangi Sarva Yagya Nam Bhokta Chapureva, so many Ishwara Parama, so many, so you know, everything's meant for Krishna, including us. And Ravi Thakur objected, like, and the jivas, we don't get anything. It's like giving a monkey a gun. What will we do with, what do we do with what we, in our madness, temporarily claim as our own? Trying to acquire, control, consume things which are lower in than us as a means of from the objective world for subjective fulfillment, it's not really possible. So when we say, yes, one surrenders themselves utterly unto Krishna, what comes in response? One who becomes a slave of Krishna, Krishna becomes a slave of that devotee. The infinite, under the control of the finite, the infinite becomes the slave of the finite. That almost makes you shudder to think of. As Guru Maharaj would say, who can be entrusted with that? That the infinite's under their control. Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the Braja Gopis, Krishna's under their control. The supreme controller is controlled by them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his songs, I mean, it's an audacious, bold statement. Krishna is the property of Radharani and her girlfriends. So, when Mahaprabhu met with Raghupati Upadhyay, saying, you know, you know the scriptures, they're vast. Mahabharata, the Ved, Puranas, everything else. What did you extract from there as best? And we have to think about this. You know, who has the capacity? Srila Guru Maharaj was praised by Saraswati Thakur as Shastra Nipun, means expert. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kunipuno Nipun is there, like the Goswamis. They can extract the most essential point. Just as Guru Maharaj said, Bhagavat Bhakti Tat Sarvam Iti, that Sharanagati gives everything. So Mahaprabhu is asking Raghupati Upadhyay, you know everything, you know all these scriptures. What, tell me, in a nutshell, what is the best advice? And says, Shrutim apare smritim mitare bharatam bande bhajantu bita bhava bita ahangi ha nandam bande yashalande param brahma. Very nicely, he's saying, there's the Shrutis, the Vedas, Upanishads, etc., Smriti, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, so many. And they're giving advice how to deal with, you how to deal with the mortal world, impending mortality. No matter what our socio-economic, political, etc. situation in the world, inevitably, we will all have to deal with mortality. Actually, we're dealing with it all the time in various ways. But it's inescapable. It's an inescapable fact of life that we will have to, and you know, they say the only two have death and taxes. But maybe you don't have to pay your taxes, but you will have to, you know, you can get out of that. You won't get out of mortality. Right? So you have to deal with that. So Vedas, Puranas, they're all giving, you know, saying, do this, do that, you know, have a program, some program to deal with this, the ultimate issue here, mortality. As the great atheist, the 20th century, it is as if to say, after a long struggle with mortality, he succumbed. So, saying they're all giving this advice. He said, but what I want to know, so he's leaping from these religious, moral, ontological proposals in one leap to Ragamarg, the path of Ragamarg, Ragabhakti. What I want to know, Ahang Nandamiha Bande Yashalande Parambrahma. What did Nanda Maharaj do that he's got the Parabrahman crawling in his courtyard? Everyone wants to connect to the Parabrahman to get relief from impending mortality. Right? And they're trying in different ways. If they have a glimpse, they consider themselves fortunate. Right? But Nanda Maharaj, he's got the Parabrahman that everybody's searching for, crawling in his courtyard as a toddler. What did he do? I would like to know that. Maybe we should follow that. That seems to be a shortcut around the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, religion, all these things. Let's do what he did. What sort of fortunate position has he? And Bhagavatam in a similar way, Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman. Same thing. Sreya Eva Mahodayam. What ultimate good fortune does Nanda Maharaj have? But that said, what about Yashoda? Anything less? No, something more. He's got Krishna crawling in his courtyard. But Yashoda has Krishna crawling on her lap, sitting on her lap, and happily sucking her breast milk. What did she do? This is inconceivable. The infinite, not that we think of Yashoda as finite. I mean, crawling on the lap of the finite for his nourishment. This is inconceivable. What level she must have achieved. One step from this world and everything in it and everything good, bad, everything into the raga zone of Nanda Yashoda. That's his opening. And we see how cautiously, carefully, systematically Sradhan Vito Anushunaya Dattavarna Yedyat. The expert devotees present. Starting there, Nanda Yashoda, Nanda, by extension Yashoda. So this has more than captured Mahaprabhu's attention. Saying, anything more? Mahaprabhu's saying, I like this. Could you say, is there more to it? Something you could say? And he said, oh, kam pratikata itam ise sam prati pratitam aya tu gopati tanaya kunje gopaviduti vitang brahma. There's more to be said, but is there anybody qualified to hear it? Again, sradhan vato anushranaya datan. look for the thread, the connecting thread, the consistency. Yes, there's more to tell, but is there anyone qualified to hear it? That's the statement of Raghupati Upadhyaya to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya, who's none other than the divine combination of Radha and Krishna. Is there anyone who's qualified? There's more. But is there anyone qualified to hear it? And if you could find someone qualified, let's say theoretically you could find someone qualified, would they believe it? They would have to disbelieve. And what is that? Go patitanaya kunje gopa viduti vitam brahma. That param brahma we mentioned before, Krishna, crawling on the lap, the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, on the lap of Yashoda. When older, who will believe the param brahma? He's hunting, searching for the Braja Gopi girls in the bushes of Vrindavan. Who's qualified to hear this? And who would believe it? Can you believe it? It's unbelievable. That much attraction he has to their surrender. Okay. They're irresistible. And Guru Maharaj wrote in an article in the Gaudiya Math publication that the hint is given that saying, and there's no one qualified and no one to believe. But now you have appeared, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you will make them qualified and they will believe. The glories of Radharani and the Braja Gopis will be broadcast all over the world. Rupa Goswami, Chaitanyastakam, Suresha Nam Durgam Gati Atishayen Upanishadam, Munina, you know, Sura, Isha, Suresh, Guru Maharaj gave this name, Suresh Durgam. It's very difficult for Muhyanti Atsuraya, for the demigods, the process, the Prakriti Lila of Krishna, the Upanishads. We're told they're like, they can point in the direction. When they actually themselves experienced it, they were thinking, what have we done? We just pointed people in the direction of the Absolute, but we didn't know about the sweet Absolute, that such pastimes could exist. We feel ashamed of what we've given. We've not fully expressed, but that is there. Listen, just as the tree, the mango tree, when not in bloom or blunt, look, there's a tree. But after some time, the flower comes, and then the mango. So Vedas are the tree, Vedanta the flower, and the Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataruru Kalitam Palam, is that fruit. So the whole purpose of the tree is to produce that fruit. It has no other purpose. You say, well, it gives some shade, you could take the... No, its purpose is to produce the mango. Okay. The purpose of the Vedas, the tree of Veda, is to produce the fully ripened fruit, which realized in the Srimad Bhagavatam, culminating in the sweet Madhura Rasa pastimes. Sri Krishna, Radharani, and Braja Gopis. Sureshanam Durgam Gati Ati Shayeno Panishadam Muninam Mandurima Vinirasa Premno Nikila Pashu Palam Buja Dusham Chaitanya Kame Dusora Pinasora Sri Chaitanya Kame Punar Pidasora Yachati Padam. Rupa Goswami, And will I saw with my own eyes the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And when in connection with the observance Krishna, when we're talking about surrender, yayatam mam prabhadyante tam sadaiva bhajamyaham, Krishna, as you surrender to me, I reciprocate that. On the one hand, that's encouraging, but on the other hand, we wish, like, for whatever little we surrendered it with Krishna would, like, help us some more. And he does, because his hand is infinite. He's reciprocating, it's lopsided, it's just, that the finite can get the end of infinite to come under the control through love and devotion seems not like a balanced transaction. On the one side, finite, the other side, the infinite. Still, there's some reciprocal factor, reciprocity. You surrender to me, then I'm dealing with you. So that's encouraging, and we're optimistic. But in the Bhagavatam, you're saying, but back to that inauspicious auspiciousness, you're saying, if I know really in your heart you're a devotee, but you're sometimes distracted by other things, don't take it personally if I don't give you those things. Actually, I know you're really a devotee and these things might not be good for you. So, yasyaham anugranami harishe tadhanam janai. If it's truly inauspicious in relation to Krishna consciousness, why would I do that to my devotee? On the other hand, there are people who, in the guise of devotion, they're coming, but really they want something else. Mukti dadati, karhichit smana bhakti yogam. I give them mukti just to get rid of them. Most people are impressed by that. They're impressed with mukti. Oh, I'm a jewel. Saying, but I won't give something, I don't give them bhakti. Why? Because by that I come under the control of that devotee. So not. But in the 10th canto, after Krishna's loving exchange with the Braja Gopis, he admits defeat. Napareyeham nirvadyasam yudam. Saying, the sort of love and affection and devotion in your heart, I can't reciprocate. I promised in Bhagavad Gita I would. I cannot do that. It's so superior. I feel not even by giving myself to you would it be commensurate to the type of love and devotion you have in your heart. So let virtue be its own reward. Mayi bhakti ribhutanam amritataya kalpate dishtya marasin matsteho bhavatinam marapana. They're saying, just like we told before, Raghupati Upadhyay, everyone wants me, karmis, jnanis, yogis, and devotees, those things. And they think if they get me, they got everything. Yam labhva chapram labham manite nadikam tata. But I consider it my good fortune that I've got you. And the love, I'm the object of the love and affection and your super hearts. That's my good fortune. So how endearing is that? The supreme reality, the supreme infinite, the supreme personality of Godhead telling the devotees, like, I consider it my good fortune that I've got you and your love and affection. Impossible of impossible things. And just to conclude the Raghupati Upadhyay section, after Mahaprabhu heard that, he's saying, then tell me, what's the supreme form? He wants to cut to the chase, so to say. What's the supreme form of Krishna? The supreme abode, the supreme age, and the supreme rasa, the highest rasa. Tell me, answer those. Shyamam eva param rupam. Shyama sundar. That Krishna. That means Govinda. Shyama sundar, Govinda sundar. Govinda, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda. He's the original Swayam Bhagavan. Same, Shyama sundar. At Shyamang Tribanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Advaitam Achutam Anadam Anantarupam Adyam Purusham Navayovinamcha Yang Shyam Asundaram Achinta Guna Swarupam. The Achinta Guna Swarup of Shyam Asundar Krishna. Inconceivably beautiful threefold bending form of Krishna. Shama eva param rupam. Puri marupuri bara. Marupuri means matra. And by that means matra means matra, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakunda, like that. Kaishora. Kaishora, Deyam, I forget. And the Kishore age. We have Nanda Kumar Krishna. And he's younger, plays with Nanda and Yasoda, baby of Nanda and Yasoda, young little boy with the coward boys, then Navayovana Krishna Kishore, and Gopa Kishore Krishna, as eternally youthful. Right? Guru Maharaj said evergreen, not in the sense of green, but meaning always fresh. New, looking more beautiful, charming, seductive, sweet. Kishore, Braja Kishore. And Adyam Rasa, Evam Paro Rasa, Adi Rasa, Madhura Rasa, Zamukya Rasa, Principal Rasa, Para. That is the supreme, the sweetest, contains all the other rasas. But needs all the other rasas for its exaltation. And we should never forget that and demean the others by some aberrant, abhorrent, misanalysis of things. Srila Guru Maharaj mentioned that from maybe Gopal Tapani, that Radharani, every morning when she wakes up, her first duty is to go touch her. She runs to touch her forehead to the lotus feet of Mother Yashoda. All these things have to be understood very carefully. But so, from the beginning of Sishaste ham sarimam tvam prapannam. Arjuna, become a disciple. Transfer one's autonomy to the infinite perspective of the ultimate reality, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And not become a loser by surrendering ourselves to him. Mahaprabhu, some of his devotees, they're so... he's so deeply penetrated their hearts, they have what we call avesh, empowerment. He's actually living in their hearts, like Nisringananda and some others are mentioned. There are different types. His avirbhav, his avesh. Some places, Yashoda cooks for Mahaprabhu every day, he appears there and takes that prasadam. But in the case of some devotees, he's actually living inside of them. It's inconceivable. So, Braja Sharanam, that type of surrender brings the infinite under the control of the finite. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. Rupa Goswami saying in his book on devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Science of Devotion, Kleshagni Subhada Moksha Laguta Krit Sandra Ananda Visheshatma. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. All these things, devotion does, culminating in what? Krishna, who is all attractive Krishna, irresistible, all-attractive Krishna, devotion is so powerful, it attracts him. It's what he is attracted to. Such is its power. And it's achieved through Sharanagati, through exclusive self-surrender. Hare Krishna.